Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mellon in American Life is a major biography of Andrew W. Mellon, the banker, industrial investor, philanthropist, and long-serving U.S. Treasury secretary who helped shape American finance and public policy in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Written by historian David Cannadine. The book combines political, business, and social history to explain how Mellon rose from Pittsburgh family enterprise to national power, and how his reputation became tied to both prosperity and controversy. It is not simply a record of offices held or fortunes accumulated. Instead, it examines the structures of family capitalism, the expansion of American industry, Mellon's role in government during the Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover administrations, and his later legacy as a patron of art and founder of the National Gallery of Art. The biography is also notable for treating Mellon as a complicated figure rather than a caricature, placing his public achievements alongside his private reserve, political unpopularity, and disputed historical image. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the Mellon family business system formed Andrew Mellon. A key strength of the biography is its explanation of Mellon's early formation within a highly practical family business culture. Cannadine shows that Andrew Mellon did not emerge as an isolated self-made genius, but as the product of Thomas Mellon's deliberate strategy of using his sons as business partners. This matters because it helps explain Andrew's early fluency in loans, mortgages, bookkeeping, real estate, and industrial opportunity. The book traces how that training gave him a disciplined view of capital and risk, and how his youth in Pittsburgh prepared him for the larger world of banking and investment. Rather than presenting inheritance as passive wealth, Cannadine treats it as an active system of apprenticeship, trust, and expansion. That framing makes Mellon's later success more historically grounded. He learned finance in a family environment that combined thrift, calculation, and opportunism. The result is a portrait of capitalism as a family enterprise as much as a public market force. Secondly, banking, industrial investment, and the making of a financial empire. The biography carefully reconstructs Mellon's rise as a financier who moved across sectors rather than remaining in one line of business. Cannadine shows him investing in banking, oil, aluminum, steel, and other industries that were central to America's economic transformation. This broad investment pattern helps explain why Mellon became such an important figure in the development of modern American capital. The book emphasizes not only the size of his fortune, but also the method behind its strategic timing, close attention to market conditions, and a willingness to back enterprises with long-term potential. That approach places Mellon within the broader story of the Gilded Age and Progressive Era economy, when private capital helped build national industrial capacity. Cannadine also takes seriously the moral ambiguity of this world. He does not ignore the accusations that have long surrounded large industrial fortunes, but he situates Mellon within the institutional logic of his time. The result is a more historically precise understanding of how wealth, consolidation, and influence interacted. Thirdly, Treasury Secretary and the Politics of Pro-Business Government. One of the book's central themes is Mellon's role as Secretary of the Treasury under three presidents: Warren Harding, Calvin Coolidge, and Herbert Hoover. Cannadine presents Mellon as a powerful policy figure who helped define the business-friendly fiscal climate of the 1920s. His influence on tax policy and the broader relationship between government and private enterprise made him a key architect of an era often associated with economic confidence and limited federal intervention. At the same time, the biography makes clear that this public success later became part of his vulnerability. Mellon came to symbolize, for critics, an elite system that appeared detached from the suffering of the Great Depression. Cannadine's treatment is valuable because it does not reduce this conflict to a simple morality tale. Instead, it shows how Mellon's administrative logic, built around efficiency and business confidence, looked very different once the economy collapsed. The book therefore uses Mellon's government career to explore the tension between technocratic reform, pro-business policy, and the limits of elite governance in crisis. Fourthly, the public scandal, tax trial, and contested historical reputation. Cannadine devotes serious attention to the controversy surrounding Mellon's reputation, especially the 1935 tax trial and the broader political hostility that gathered around him. The book makes clear that Mellon was not merely disliked for personal reasons. He became a symbolic target in debates over wealth, influence, and fairness in American life. Cannadine presents the trial as part of a larger political struggle over the meaning of great fortunes and the legitimacy of business power. This matters because Mellon's public image has often been flattened into that of a cold capitalist villain, and the biography resists that simplification. By examining the charges against him and the arguments of his defenders, Cannadine explains how political memory can harden into stereotype. The book also addresses the claim that Mellon's philanthropy was tied to self-protection or reputation management, showing how contested such interpretations remain. In this way, the biography is not only about Mellon himself, but also about the process by which historical reputations are built, attacked, and revised over time. Lastly, art collecting, philanthropy, and the creation of a cultural legacy. A distinctive part of the biography is its attention to Mellon's art collecting and philanthropy, especially his role in founding the National Gallery of Art. Canadine presents this not as a decorative side note, but as an essential part of Mellon's long-term legacy. Mellon's collecting reflected wealth, taste, and cultural ambition, but it also transformed private fortune into public institution. That shift is important because it shows another dimension of elite power in American history, the ability to convert economic capital into cultural permanence. Canadine uses this theme to broaden the meaning of philanthropy beyond simple generosity. The National Gallery of Art stands as a concrete result of Mellon's efforts to shape public culture, and the biography examines how that institution changed his posthumous reputation. At the same time, the book acknowledges that the art material may feel slower to some readers, which reflects Canadine's refusal to simplify Mellon into only a businessman or only a patron. Mellon's cultural legacy is treated as part of the same historical problem as his finance and politics: how to judge a powerful man whose private preferences, public works, and institutional influence all operated together. In conclusion, Mellon and American Life is best suited for readers interested in American history, business history, political economy, and the making of modern philanthropy. It will also appeal to anyone who wants a serious biography of a figure, often mentioned more as a symbol than as a person. The practical benefit of the book is that it helps readers understand how private capital, government policy, and cultural patronage intersected in one influential life. Its intellectual value lies in its balance. Canadine neither canonizes Mellon nor reduces him to a villain. Instead, he reconstructs the world that made Mellon powerful and controversial, while also showing how historical memory can misrepresent complex figures. Compared with many biographies of businessmen, this one stands out for its range. It is not limited to boardrooms or policy debates. It also explores family dynamics, tax politics, and the founding of a major art institution. That combination makes it especially useful for readers who want a biography that explains both an individual and the era he helped shape. If you would like to support David Canadine, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.